obviously a lot to chew on the last couple of days. The bottom line is this. Jonathan Martin is not with the team, hasn't been with the team for about a week. Richie Incognito is suspended. Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald reports Incognito will never play a game in a Dolphin uniform again. Those are sort of the facts, both out there and reported. Beyond that, there's a lot out there we know, and a lot more out there I don't think we know. Mm-hmm. And it's a really, really tough, touchy sort of story. My quick take, and John and Sam are here as well. We'll discuss this for the next 2 hours. My quick take is, number one, we don't know everything. I think it's very important to kind of start with that. But we do know some things. And to me, one of the things we know is that Richie Incognito did some things that I can't defend. He said some things I can't defend. And I do like Richie. And I think maybe there's a sense that, there's some misunderstanding, you know, mixed up in the middle of this. But there were things said, allegedly, I suppose, by Richie Incognito that I can't defend. I can't. I think that's kind of where we're at. And what you say is normal locker room behavior, which is whatnot. We'll have that conversation, I'm sure, until we're blue in the face. But it's different to every guy. It's different to every guy. And I guess that's, you know, something to keep in mind right here. And I don't know. I mean, it's a really, really tough, touchy, sticky kind of situation. And I feel badly for everybody in a weird sense. I do. I think this is something that, you know, could have been avoided. I think it's something that didn't have to get to this point. And maybe that's what disappoints me as much as anything.
And you know what, being a captain, and you know, Richie was a captain, and he wore that C on his chest for a reason, because the players in the locker room voted him as such. You know, it is not up to the coach, it's not up to, you know, the coaching staff. The players come up with those. So, you know, I'm gonna say, before, you know, getting all the facts and the information that we do have, the little bit that we have, you know, I will sit here, and now I'm going to say he took it too far. You know, that's entirely too far. And Jesse, I think you hit it on the head. You know, it's some things that you cannot defend, you know, when you put stuff in words and you put it on voicemail and text, you know, it's out there and it's going to be there, and you can't take it back. You know, for Jonathan to have to go through this, you know, I feel for him, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, John, I'm only going to let you get away with so much, and then I'm going to have to take it upon myself no matter what it is. And the one thing that, you know, what I was waiting for and what I was waiting to hear was, you know, like Coach Philbin said, I talked to, you know, Jonathan, his representatives, you know, his family, throughout the course of a whole week, since last week, walking out of that cafeteria, and being that he's been here for 2 years, and he's played with Richie, you know, this is the first time that I'm hearing this. If you bring this to me a little bit early, maybe we'll be able to get, and it caught everybody off guard, you know, for Coach Philbin to say, is this Richie on a voicemail? Is this show that to me earlier, and I could fix this, you know, earlier, and we wouldn't be dealing with this later on. You know, if things are that bad in your workplace, you have to bring it. You bring it, and it could have been dealt with, you know, in a secure manner, you know, because the coaches and the players, they could have sat down, everybody. Because now we're missing two starters off our roster, guys that we were dependent on to help us get to where we want to go in the second half of the season. And now we're losing two guys, and we got to put something into place. But, you know, two guys are lost, you know, for this organization. Two really good guys that I thought could help us win some football games. And it was all because of something that I think could have been corrected if it would have been brought to the forefront a little earlier.
Well, it's a sad situation for everybody involved. It's a sad situation when you think of that. You know, one guy can, you know, get to somebody like that for an extended period of time, and that person maybe not bring it to his, you know, bring it up and say, listen, I'm not going there anymore. You know, I've had it with that. And it probably stops at that point, you know. And knowing Richie the way we do, because we interact with him just about every day, he's just probably doing that to a lot of different people in different ways. And for Jonathan to let it go that far, you know, it shouldn't happen in the first place. You know, that mean-spirited and the way it went. But from what we know, it should have been taken care of internally without going, you know, to the coaching staff or to anybody else involved. It should have been taken care of in the locker room, because pretty much those men handle themselves. Yeah. and they police themselves. And, you know, it's sad because it hurts the other 51 guys that are in that locker room now, because you're hurting your football team, and ultimately you're here for one reason, to kind of take care of yourself, to help your teammates and move on and do your job. And that environment didn't make it conducive to being at your best. Obviously, Jonathan, you know, let it linger, and it went on, and he couldn't take it anymore, and he left. Well, that probably should have been handled in April or May between both of those guys, so it never affected the other 51 guys in there.
Part of the interesting thing, too, is that Joe Philbin said throughout his conversations with Jonathan Martin dating back to last Monday, none of this was ever really specifically brought up. And it seemed like the coach went out of his way to make sure that that was clear, that when he spoke to Jonathan Martin, this wasn't brought up. But then, I guess, yesterday or late Saturday, and forgive me, I don't have it in front of me, at a point when he got into a conversation with his representatives, with Martin's representatives, then these things started to come to light. It's sloppy. It's a mess. And obviously, the Miami Dolphins, as a football team, will figure out how to move on and get ready, you know, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Monday. I'd expect to see Nate Garner at left guard like he was when Incognito got hurt the other night. I'd expect to see Tyson Claypool at right tackle where he was on Thursday night, because Jonathan Martin wasn't at that game. So from a football standpoint, you know, hey, they'll practice, they'll do their thing, and life goes on. But obviously, it's a little bit of a different situation right now, especially for both Jonathan Martin and Richie Incognito. The reach of this thing is long. This isn't going away anytime soon. I do think we all have to realize that. Again, my personal take, I don't speak for John. I don't speak for Sam. I certainly don't speak for the Miami Dolphin organization when I say this. To me, I think, one, the important thing is to emphasize we don't know a lot. I think there is a great deal we don't know right now. But we do know some. We do know some when it comes to Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin. And some of what we know is something I can't defend. You know, certain words being used by Richie in particular is what I'm referring to here.
Yeah.
I cannot, will not, won't, couldn't possibly defend that. Just couldn't, won't, can't. And you know, that's part of what is in play here. Again, the timeline, you know, presented by Joe Philbin the other day is somewhat interesting, in that he spoke to Jonathan Martin several times. You know, no specific complaints being made until Martin's representatives were on the phone with Philbin over the weekend. But the NFL is conducting a review, a comprehensive and objective review, as Joe Philbin referred to it, and he says, "We will give them our full and complete cooperation." Adam Beasley of the Miami Herald says, "Adolfo Birch, who is the senior vice president of labor policy for the National Football League, is leading the investigation." Beasley continues that Birch oversees the administration of the league's personal conduct policy. So the league is involved. They will be cooperative. Joe Philbin wasn't about to give any specifics out about what he may or may not have known at what point. He says he will tell the NFL during this review all those things, but he's not going to have that play out in the media. And Joe Philbin also gave a very passionate, much more so than we normally see him in a press conference setting, very passionate assessment of what to him is a very important part of his job, which is the workplace atmosphere and all parts of it. He referenced his kids, you know, when they go to school, he has an expectation as a parent that a certain environment is going to exist, and that they should be able to uphold themselves to the same, if not higher, standards here with an NFL team. Something he is obviously very passionate about. I guess the larger question that I think a lot of people want to get to is, how common are some of the things we're hearing about? When it's the big $15,000 dinner, or when it's the, you know, the rookies having to do this, or the haircuts, those are the kinds of things that have come into focus these last couple of days. Now, to me, I don't know that those necessarily tell the full story here, but, I mean, that's what a lot of the national conversation is about right now. Rookie hazing. And some of the stuff we saw on Hard Knocks. And of course, some of it is completely benign. It's a guy having to sing a song in front of his teammates. You guys have both been in these locker rooms in college and in the pros. There is a certain expectation among the players that things like this are going to happen for rookies or freshmen in college, whatever it is. But there are lines. There are lines, right? I mean, it's not an everything goes, anything goes kind of situation. I guess my question is, it's not real easy to know where those lines are all the time. Now, a certain thing might be way over the line, a certain thing might be way under the line, but maybe when you get around the line, it can be a little bit difficult. Or in the locker room, is there a good sense that everybody kind of knows what is and is not okay?
Well, first of all, when you're going to the National Football League and you're coming out of college, when your whole when you're looking at it from college, you're looking at this as a sophomore. You see guys going to the National Football League. They come back. They tell you all the stories. They do the different things. Even the coaches. When you get ready to go, and I'm thinking back, Everett Withers, I think he's a deep coordinator at Ohio State now. He was the defensive back coach at New Orleans, Tennessee Titans. And just listening to all of my coach, like, listen, Sam, what I want you to do, I want you to learn three songs because you're gonna get hazed. I don't know where you're gonna go, so just be prepared. This is one of the things that you're gonna have to do. This is a guy that's a coach there. He's given it to me, and now when I get into the Nashville and I'm a veteran, hey, sing that song. But when I come to the Miami Dolphins, I have a coach by the name of Jimmy Johnson. Hey guys, look, everybody is on the same playing field. No hazing, no doing this, no doing that. Okay, cool. Now, but guess what? Hey, Sam, I know we can't do this to you, but you need to have breakfast sandwiches on my chair every Friday for the locker room. We need a radio. This is what we're going to do. Okay, so now Brock Marion and all of those, George Teague, these guys, they're breaking me in. They're still hazing. They're doing it to a point. But when I play football on the football field, all of that washes away. Like, wow, this kid can really play. He's going to help us. Hey, you're a rookie. I'm going to haze you a little bit, but I'm not going to take it too far because we need you on Sundays, and that's what it's really all about. So when I go to New York, this is what we do. Everybody gets fined. We're going to have one night where we're going to go out, we're going to splurge, and yes, it's going to be on the rookies. But leading up to that date, which is later on in the season where you know what your playoff implications are, what it's not going to be, so you plan all of this out. Leading up to that point, if you get a penalty, if you get a holding call, you get a personal foul, if you drop a ball in practice, everybody's putting into this pot. So yes, it is helping the rookies out toward the end of the day, but at the end of the day, Sam Madison had to do it, Terrell Buckley had to do it, John, you had to do it, everybody else. So you try to help them out in certain ways. It goes on all the time, but you can't go over that line.
Other texts that come in at 347-347, the football question, of course, what's the starting offensive line going to look like now? And again, my guess would be that it's going to look the way it looked on Thursday night against Cincinnati, that it's going to be Bryant McKinney at left tackle, Nate Garner at left guard. Don't forget, Richie only played 14 snaps on Thursday Correct. Night because he suffered the neck injury. Garner came in, played the whole rest of the night at left guard. This is how it works. He's going to be there. Pouncey's going to be at center. Jerry's going to be at right guard. Claybo's going to be at right tackle. I would certainly expect on Monday Night Football, when the Dolphins take the field at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, that it's going to be the same offensive line that finished out overtime against the Cincinnati Bengals on Thursday night. No reason at this point to think that that's going to change.
I don't see how it can. I think you have your best five out there on the football field, and that's Tyson Claybo right now at right tackle and Nate Garner at left tackle. And you're going to go with Bryant McKinney again left guard and Bryant McKinney at left tackle. You're going to have to roll with these guys, and watching the film and watching the game and watching the game over as I did when I went home, it looked like they played pretty well. It looked like they were playing. The more the game went on, the better they played, and they rushed the football effectively against the Cincinnati Bengals. They were able to rush for over 140 yards in the first half. I think it was 142. That was the first time that happened since 2002 for a Miami Dolphins football team to have that much success in the first half. Lamar Miller ran with authority over 100 yards, and Daniel Thomas on his touches maybe wasn't as productive as Lamar, but ran hard again and physically in between the tackles. We got to see the speed of Lamar Miller on the edge to the outside, his patience, his burst. So a lot of good things to come from that game on Thursday night. So I would expect to see the same starting five line up on Monday Night Football against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
All right, so there you go. That's one of the football parts of this entire thing, of course. Other text messages coming in about football and otherwise. I thought this one was really good, though. He goes, while I think we all feel like we can add to the conversation on this, the truth is there just isn't enough of the full story out there to form a good opinion.
Right.
I think there's a lot of truth to that. It's kind of where I started. I think there's a lot we don't know. I think some of what has come out that Richie Incognito did really disappointed me. And again, for me, that's mostly that language. Yeah, I'm not on board with that. I'm not going to defend that. I'm not going to say it doesn't bother me and it shouldn't bother Jonathan Martin. But I think there are a lot of unknowns out there on both sides of this. It is a very, very incomplete story right now. And one of the other questions being brought up by people is why is Jonathan Martin the only one complaining? And it's a fair question to ask. I think the phrase that keeps popping into my head is know your audience. And when it comes to these hazing things, not every guy is going to take it the same. You know, some people will embrace it and they kind of enjoy the camaraderie that it brings. Some people don't like it, but they get it's part of the deal. And some people have no tolerance for it. And if it's somebody that doesn't have tolerance for it, at some point it's got to stop. And now, could Jonathan Martin have more directly, you know, relayed that to some of his teammates? Sure, maybe. Again, we don't know about the conversations that may or may not have taken place. But know your audience. Understand that every guy is going to react to things differently. We talked about this last week. Tim Bowens, I think, was a guy that got brought up on this show.
Yeah.
You didn't do it to Tim Bowens. He made it very, very clear, and that was the end of it. And again, not everybody has the personality to stand up like that and do those kinds of things. But you as a teammate, because at the end of the day, more than anything else, Richie Incognito and Jonathan Martin are teammates for the Miami Dolphins, or they were. You got to know your guys, and you got to know what will work and what won't work. The same way a coach has to know how to motivate a guy. The way you motivate player A is different than way you motivate player B. The way you discipline player A might be different than the way you discipline player B. You mentioned Jimmy Johnson. He's famous for that. I think all of that comes into play here. You have to know the guy, and how you treat him is part of that.